Now, by the end of the Third War, in 1570, most of the original belligerents, the cast of characters in the first couple of wars, had all died. Antoine de Bourbon had died in 1562, the Sieur de Saint-André in the same year, the Duke of Guise was assassinated in 1563, Anne de Montmorency died in 1567, and the Prince of Condé was assassinated in 1569. So this removal of the original troublemakers or belligerents, or whatever you want to call them, paved the way for some kind of a reconciliation between the crown and the Huguenots. And indeed, the third peace settlement of the war, which had ended in 1570, also made significant new concessions to the Huguenots. It allowed them for the first time to fortify four key cities, and it granted them formal equality in civil law in France. The House of Guise was disgraced, and the Huguenot general Coligny was admitted to the king's council. What Catherine now needed was some kind of further stroke to kind of bring the separated halves of the kingdom together and end the conflict. And as would have been typical for most early modern monarchs, she looked for a marriage alliance. She sought to arrange a marriage between her own daughter, Marguerite of Valois, and the Huguenot leader, Henry of Navarre, who was the son of Antoine de Bourbon. It's interesting to note that the papacy was adamantly opposed to this marriage, but the crown went ahead and celebrated anyway on the 18th of August, 1572. A lot of Huguenots came to Paris for the wedding, and it was celebrated more or less without incident. At the same time, however, for all the plans and efforts of the crown to moderate the situation, a decade of violence had profoundly inflamed the religious zeal and hatreds of the common people. Paris had always been an arch-Catholic city. It had suffered greatly during the first three wars of religion when Condé had tried to starve the population into submission, and the population had seen the Duke of Guise as their hero, and his assassination in 1563 had further inflamed the Parisians against the Huguenots. Crucially, it turned out that the crown would not be able to control the passions of the common people. This is again a pattern which we'll see in several other parts of Europe, that the war begins allegedly or seemingly under the leadership of the crowned heads and the aristocrats, but the common people, once brought into it, become a force which no one can control. What happened? Well, on the 22nd of August, 1572, somebody tried to kill Coligny. He was walking down the street in Paris, and someone took a pot shot at him with an arquebus. It hit him in the arm. It didn't kill him. He seems to have turned at the last minute, so the assassination attempt fails. A judicial inquiry was promptly launched, and it implicated the House of Guise, now headed by Henry, the Duke of Guise, after the death of his father in 1563. The House of Guise had always held Coligny responsible for the assassination of the first Duke of Guise in 1563 and had nurtured a kind of blood vendetta against Coligny. The Huguenots, for their part, clamored for justice against this attempt to kill their leader. Now, on the 23rd of August, Catherine de' Medici consulted her privy councillors in the palace gardens. The king, Charles IX, seems to have been persuaded that the Huguenots were not merely threatening to punish the House of Guise for their attempt to kill Condé, but were also threatening the royal person. And the King Charles IX seems to have sanctioned a kind of summary execution of a few key Huguenot leaders, a sort of strategic strike, if you will. I say seems because in the aftermath of what subsequently transpired, a lot of the documents were destroyed or copies survived which are clearly incomplete. There was a great deal of effort to cover up what had happened. So it's difficult for historians to be perfectly clear about what happened. But what we do know is that in the early morning hours of August the 24th, 1572, the Duke of Guise and some of his soldiers burst into Coligny's residence in Paris and killed him. Meanwhile, other Huguenot leaders were assassinated in other parts of the city, and by roughly 5 o'clock in the morning, the official massacre, the strategic strike, was over. But then the common people came into action. A Catholic mob rampaged through the city for 3 days, killing every single Huguenot it could get its hands on, men, women, children. No one was spared, and order was not restored in Paris until August the 30th. After the massacres in Paris, violence then spread outside the capital to a dozen French cities, and in the end, perhaps 3,000 people were butchered in Paris, and perhaps 10,000 people were slaughtered in the provinces. King Charles IX accepted responsibility for the initial assassinations, and he justified them on the grounds that the Huguenots were a threat to the crown, a conviction shared by many French people at this time.